Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. Generally, we ask you to hold your phone calls, and we're going to do that again today until after the top of the hour news. If you want to jot the phone number down if you have questions or comments for our guest, that number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we will put you on the air live. We might suspend that early today. It just depends on how the program goes. But in the meantime, we want to remind you that Election Day is coming up a week from today. And if you have your voter's pamphlet, you'll find it's fairly thin. And that seems to have created some confusion because there are two significant money questions on that ballot. One for city voters, one for county voters, and the two are not mixed. To answer some of those questions today, we've invited in some special guests from the Grants Pass City Council. First of all, we're talking about today specifically Measure 17114. The question, shall Grants Pass renew the levy of $1.79 for $1,000 dedicated to funding police and fire? The levy renews the current city police and fire local option levy ending June 30th of next year. Funds raised by this levy would be used solely for Grants Pass police and fire operations. That's the question that you're voting on, city voters only. And here to answer all your questions, and this is the place to ask those questions today, City Councilors Valerie Lovelace and Joel King. And we want to thank you two very much for joining us here today on our radio, taking time out of what I know has been a busy schedule for you both. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. There's lots of confusion out there right now as to who is voting for what right now. Is there an easy way to delineate this?
I think basically if you're a city resident, then you're voting on city operational. And if you're a county resident, which is outside of the UGB, then you're voting on county. County oftentimes gets, I guess, more amplified because they've had over the years extreme funding crises. As we know, if we go back to 2012 in terms of them not having a sheriff department, so just think sheriff, the sheriff department, because that's really, to me, what keeps in my brain. If you're voting in the county, you're voting for sheriff. If you're voting in the city, you're voting for Grants Pass Police Fire.
All right. Now, I think some of that confusion comes from the fact that I'm a city resident, but I'm also a resident of Josephine County. So that's where some of the confusion is. If you open your ballot, you'll probably only have one choice.
Right. And that makes it easiest.
That makes it easiest. But if you're still trying to decide what to do, here's where you ask your questions today. And we're talking about the city measure only, renewing that $1.79. Why did the council move to put that back in front of the voters? Either one of you, Valerie or Joel, either one, let's step up.
Well, the levy funds exclusively public safety. And so if you want a police and fire department, this is the way we've traditionally funded it and have since at this level since I think it was 2010. So this has been an ongoing expense to provide public safety, which is your fire department, so that somebody responds when you call 911 and have a fire, or your police department if you have a crime or there's something that is going on that needs attention legally, in providing justice and for all here within the city limits. So it's just an ongoing operational expense.
All right. Valerie, is he correct?
Yes, he is correct.
You want to add something to it?
I'm just going to say all of our permanent, which we currently pay $4 and I think 14 cents permanent rate, and then the levy. So back in 1996, 97, Measure 5 and all that, we were all set. Everybody in the state was set with a permanent rate, and the city's was $4.13. Well, there was no way, even at that time, to function on that, and they actually, I think they started at 89 cents way back, and it slowly came up through time to $1.79. Twice we've tried to go for 10 cents more, and it's been voted down. So one of the things that, you know, we've consistently seen is that people are willing to pay $1.79 for a local option tax, which also goes towards police and fire. So that's what we're asking for, is the $1.79. There will be, obviously, some issues with that down the road, and we've tried to be very open as a council that that really does not fund all of police and fire, and we will have to look for other ways to balance it and to stabilize public safety. But the $1.79 is a big part of that. We've had it since we voted on it 2009, but it has been in effect since fiscal year 2010.
And we need to be clear that every dollar of the collected under the $1.79 goes to public safety. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go anywhere else.
Okay. Now, this $1.79 has been in place, you said, since, 14 years now. Mm-hmm. How was it funded prior to that? We always had an additional levy to fund public safety.
So there was a previous levy. It was just at a lower amount. And then we also had our regular property tax that Valerie referred to that was dedicated to public safety.
Is all of that dedicated to public safety?
Yes, all of it is dedicated to public safety.
All right. So what happens if this measure goes down?
You're talking about some pretty significant cuts in police and fire. We don't want to think about it because that's a reality, but I think probably we have made some pretty substantial cuts in the last few years as costs have continued to go up. I think we made $2 million worth of cuts in the last couple of years, and we've really actually probably overextended ourselves because some of the cuts that we've made are in positions where people are retiring that we are going to need to put people in those positions. And we've taken things like our vehicle replacement fund and stopped funding them at the levels that we were previously, which is another unsustainable practice. So we've done some things to try to keep ourselves operating, but basically what we have left to cut is boots on the ground. So we're talking police officers, firefighters, personnel, which is the meat of what our public safety program is.
All right.
And just to reiterate what Valerie said, in 2021 and 2022, in each year, we implemented the combination of budget cuts and new revenues, mainly from the tourist taxes. They were mainly cuts to resolve a $2 million budget shortfall each year. So we've cut $4 million in the last 2 years. We've revised our investment strategies to earn stronger returns. We increased the percentage of city lodging tax so tourists would pay more for public service. And like Val talked about, we've deferred needed expenses in building maintenance, fleet replacement, and other capital projects. The other thing that has come out from this is we've now had to supplement the public safety with the city's general fund. And have been, even in at the last budget meeting, we even dipped into our reserve funds that we have to as a reservation and a contingency. So then the question is, why are these expenses so high? This is something that every city in the state of Oregon is struggling with. There's not one that I'm aware of that is not struggling trying to keep the costs reasonable and provide the necessary services. There are several reasons why, in Oregon anyway, they're high. The cost of salaries and benefits, mainly PERS, for public safety personnel is a major expense. The cost of equipment and training for public safety personnel is also high, especially post-COVID. This applies mainly to the county, but in rural populations, it's much more expensive to provide public safety service in Josephine County. It's not so much in Grants Pass. The other significant thing is Oregon has a high crime rate compared to the other 49 states. This high cost of public safety is a challenge for Oregon policymakers. We must balance the need to provide adequate public services with the need to keep taxes affordable. And that's where we're at.
All right. Have we determined what is an adequate level to provide public safety here? Are we at that level now?
I think what we've done is put in some stopgap measures where we didn't fill vacant positions. And to be honest with you, through my experience, that's a horrible strategy because Chuck, you retire, the station doesn't fill you, and then who does your job?
Nobody could do my job.
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm, so,
I came in. It's Halloween. I came in and described as an old radio guy. So
I guess everybody has specific skills and abilities that are needed, and each position is that way. And to do it haphazard, just by eliminating those jobs that where people are retiring, is not a long-term strategy.
Right.
That's just a stopgap.
And I think we'd all recognize and realize that the public safety needs in our community have not lessened in the last 5 years. I think we all recognize that they've increased. Obviously, you know, homelessness and some of the crises that we're going through, and some of if you read the police reports and see how busy our officers are, you recognize that they're doing a lot of work. You look at wildfires that have raged in the last 10 years and you recognize, you know, there's a lot of fear out there, and having firefighters available is important, more important than I think we ever recognized long term. So the need has not decreased. It has, if anything, it's increased, and yet there's a lot of factors that have decreased the amount of officers that we have. Available to work, including things like family leave, including things like, you know, light duty work when there's police officer involved shootings. You know, there's just a lot of things that have increased the need, and yet we have fewer officers on the streets than we have. So I say we actually could use more public safety, not less, at this time.
All right. Are there numbers that we're looking at, as Chief Hensman outlined to you, what we really need, how many officers per capita this community should have? Are we at that level? Do we have any hard numbers like that?
Well, I don't know if I hard numbers. I'd say we have 57, but we've had 57 officers probably for the last 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. In this, I do know some hard facts. I think not too long ago we had like 4 people on leave of absent. We had, you know, 4 or 5 people going out on family leave. We had 4 officers that were involved with a shooting, and so therefore they're put on an administrative leave. So we were at one point in the last month or so operating like on 49 officers, not the 57 that we would like to say. So having number of officers and having the number
that's
of
down
available,
almost 20%.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So those are some real hard facts that, you know, we're dealing with in this world. And the majority of the budget at this point is personnel. So at this point, that will have to be gone.
So, Chuck, you asked very good questions, and Valerie's points are very well made. I'm always impressed with Valerie. She cares a lot for her community. The public safety cost for police, average across Oregon, is $725 per person. The reference for that is from artificial intelligence, BARD. In Grants Pass, we're paying right now $617 per person. So we're about one seventh less than the average cost. So we're getting we're below average for the state of Oregon on a per capita basis. The other thing, as I look at this, there's several things across the state that are humongous. The Department of Corrections for the state of Oregon has, I think, $1.7 billion budget just to take care of people that are incarcerated. It's amazing how much across the state is goes towards providing justice for people.
And something that I would say in Josephine County that we struggle with a little bit than other, I mean, if you look at Jackson County has 11 municipalities in Jackson County, which mm-hmm. means there are 11 different police agencies. So every one of those municipalities has their own sort of police. There's fire districts. There's just a lot more available. And in Josephine County, we have 2 municipalities. We have Grants Pass and Cave Junction. So we don't have a lot of the mutual support that other communities and has. So if you're a police officer or a firefighter in Grants Pass, you know, we have rural metro, and, you know, thank goodness we do, a private company, but we don't have a lot of the support that other communities have in terms of other you know, surrounding areas that can come in and give support. So that makes it more difficult for Joseph County.
How do we stack up against those communities in Jackson County in terms of cost for law enforcement? We have those numbers. Are we getting a bargain, or are we overspending? What are we doing here in comparison to other agencies in Southern Oregon?
Well, I can say, and I don't, like I said, I don't, there's a million facts out there that mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. I do know in terms of taxing, we are, within the state, the average tax rate in the state of Oregon is $17.24 per thousand. In Josephine County, we pay $9, and I think it's $9.55 per thousand. So in terms of being taxed, some people do strange things, and sometimes when I'm watching television at night, I'll actually go under the Oregon statistical information from the Department of Revenue, and you look at how many, like, fire districts and law enforcement districts and things there are around the state, and we really, I feel, get a real bang for our buck because we're paying less, and I think we have a great Grants Pass Fire and Police Department.
All right. Well, no doubt we certainly salute those who are wearing that uniform right now, whether it's police or fire. In the meantime, though, we've got some more questions to ask, and we'll do that when we come back right after this word.
You bet.
Advantage.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. We're talking about Measure 17114. If you have your voter's pamphlet, dig it out and figure out your questions and give us a call here after the top of the hour news. Our guest from the Grants Pass City Council to explain the situation that we are facing right now is City Councilors Valerie Lovelace and Joel King. And once again, we want to thank you for your time this morning. Should Measure 17114 fail, what is the council prepared to do in order to ensure the city's public safety?
Well, one of the things I think we've been really honest about is the fact that we do know, even with $1.79, we will have to add something else in order to just keep what we have right now. The $1.79 will not pay for it. We looked at lots and lots of numbers as we went through this process of deciding. And in order to keep the services that we have now, which we've talked about is not great, we would have had to raise the levy to $3.80 per thousand. And
you'd have had to add almost $2 to the,
yes,
to the levy.
Yes, exactly, in order to keep the services we have now, because costs and where we've been in the last years of not passing increases. So the reality of it is with the levy, that will be much less. Currently, with the levy passing, we still have a $6.5 million deficit. With the levy failing, that turns to $13 million. So basically, you know, we're going to have to look at other options. And, you know, I said we've talked about some of those options. We're asking for feedback from people as to those options, as to what we will be doing. But our first stool in the table is to get the $1.79, because that is something people have passed before. Stabilization is a word I've used multiple times in my years on council, that has been a priority, is to stabilize funding for our law enforcement. The problem we have now is that with three-year levies, every 3 years we have to go out and ask for it. Well, what we do is we lose firefighters and police people, because the other districts don't have the funding issue we do, and so they'll go to a more stable environment, so where they don't have to worry every 3 years that their job might be cut. So we have seen a lot of people moving. So retaining police and fire has been difficult. Recruiting police and fire has been difficult. So stabilization is what we're really going for, and one leg is the levy. We're going 5 years this year, $1.79, but we're going to have to do some other things on top of that. So with the levy, if the levy passes, our deficit will be $6.5 million, and we've got some options we're looking at. Without the passage of the levy, that would be $13 million. And I will say that our council is pretty dedicated to making sure we have public safety. We've made a decision that we're not going to let it drop. We're not going to say, well, you didn't want it, this is how it goes, because I think people just don't understand what, you know, what that means. We have to have public safety.
All right. About that understanding, there are people out there who will say, Regardless of what happens, you'll find the money somewhere. Someone will come in and bail us out. I've heard naysayers do that year after year after year. Do you have a response to that?
I don't see any grandparents sitting out there with lots of money to give. Let's just put it that way. I don't see anybody bailing us out. I think basically what we'll have to do is that the responsibility will fall back on us. In 2012, I remember the state came through with Oregon State Police. You know, they've done some things in the county, but they are not planning on doing any of that. And especially, like I said, when you look around the state and you see the tax burden that other communities have as compared to us, it's really hard for those up north to continue want to bail us out when our tax rate is a lot lower than the remaining, the rest of the state.
All right. From what I'm hearing is the money's got to come from somewhere, and that's going to come out of the taxpayers' pockets in some form. So do we need to talk about that form? We'll do that here soon. We've got probably less than a minute here before we have to break for news. So that's something that you should be considering. Once again, the phone number after the news is that you want to call 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comments directly to our guest. Once again, you're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, heard all around the world on KAJO.com. The question today is, on your ballot, measure 17114 is, shall the Grants Pass renew a levy of $1.79 per $1,000 dedicated to funding police and fire? And we'll be back right after this word.
From our humble beginning, serving...
Tuesday Talk Show in progress here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Measure 17-114 on your ballot coming up next Tuesday is Election Day. In studio today, City Councilors Valerie Lovelace and Joel King. And on the phone right now, a caller who's been most patient and held on throughout the news. Good morning. You're on the air. You have a question for our guests. Hello? Yes, sir. You sound muffled.
Yeah, so this might be a little bit radical to the left question, but, you know, when you go to the doctor, hopefully I'm explaining it correctly too. You know, when you go to the doctor and then you have lab works done and you get an extra bill at the end where you have to pay the lab or you have to pay the x-ray because your full insurance doesn't cover all that stuff?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just trying to explain it so you guys understand what I'm saying. Is there any way to be able to make it where the $1.79 taxes the service to come out, but then there could be added service fees? And I'm not talking like a huge amount, but like maybe $20 for a domestic disturbance or even $30 for like a shoplifter or something like that. It's almost like you have health insurance where you all get covered. But if there's an extra type of service that is done to your house when you call 911 or they come out, you still get the service, but then you get like a small fee added for having that service given to you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Let me see if I can clarify it for just a second here. So if I call 911, I get a $5 fee just for that service of calling 911. A shoplifter might be added an extra fee of $15, $20 just for calling the police out to that. Is that what you're asking, sir?
If they go out and they take care of the issue, then they get an added fee for that actual time of using it. It's kind of like you pay for health insurance, you pay that small amount of money for health insurance, but when you actually use it, then you pay your deductible. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, I'll let the counselors weigh in on this. Valerie, first of all.
Well, yeah, I mean, it adds a whole different level because you're also adding the amount that goes with the paperwork with following up and paying and the bill and all those things. So there's that level. I'm not really sure. I think like for false alarms and things, we do that now. We actually, you know, there's a certain number that are allowed. And if you get more, you call in because there's more false alarms and they show up at your officer business, if you've already had two or whatever the limit is, that they start charging you. So I think you are starting to see a little bit more of that. Unfortunately, I don't know if that would be as easy for coming out for, say, police for, you know, some being saved. I'm not sure exactly how that would work. And I guess it's just always been, we've all gotten used to the services without having to necessarily pay for it, so it would be a whole different way to look at it. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Joel.
Well, the way I understand what the caller talked about was a pay-for-service, mm-hmm. Very similar to a medical situation. One of the things that we deal with, I'm not aware of any community that does that right now. That doesn't mean that it couldn't be done. The amount of funding, I guess, that you would, the revenue stream, that would be somewhat difficult to estimate, but I'm sure that could be overcome as well. One of the things I think that we do in the United States is basic services like public safety and fire. We want liberty and justice for all, and not just those that can pay for it. And so you have these public services that we're getting a lot of static here, but these public services that whether you make $1 million a year or whether you make you're working at McDonald's and maybe even living on the street, that you have access to that avenue to pursue justice. And I think that's an important part of our society. But you know, that it doesn't mean that in the future there are pay-for-services type approach, at least partially, could be done. It hasn't been done anywhere that I'm aware of.
Well, I think security-wise, you're going to see that. I remember back in 2012, what you saw was people who had money were able to pay for security services, mm-hmm. and people who didn't have those funding was not. So I think it just comes back to that concept, like Joel said, justice for all, that we're all human and we're all you know, deserve certain services. And it's a community fund that pays for all, regardless of what you can afford. So like I said, something to think about. I think, you know, in some ways we do use that for security or like now for calls, extra calls. I don't know how for life and death that would be.
Okay, let me see if I can't add just a little bit to what that caller was talking about. Could that be converted into an administrative fee to be administered by the courts if I was found guilty of shoplifting, for his example, an extra $15 fee that would go back to public safety for their services? I don't know if that's possible or not. I suspect it might be, but I'm not sure what kind of hoops we'd have to go through or how it would be challenged through the courts.
Well, that's an interesting concept, Chuck, and we can look into that. There's nowhere anywhere that I've seen where that's been done successfully.
I've not heard of anything like that. I think that's kind of what the caller was referring to, even a little additional charge maybe for people asking for service. And I will try to figure out where that static is coming from. I don't think it's going over the air, but it's certainly distracting here. We'll take a pause. We'll be right back after this message. I believe we've cleared it up here, and it was primarily on in studio here. I don't think the audience was hearing what we were hearing, but it was very, very distracting and getting worse. In the meantime, once again, we're talking with city councilors about Measure 17114, renewing that $1.79 levy for public safety. And we had an interesting suggestion from one caller, and if you have suggestions or questions for the councilors to figure out how to vote this coming next Tuesday, it's 541-472-1270 is the number to call. What are the options should this levy fail? Because I don't think the council will leave the city without protection. So anybody want to step in and outline
sure.
some of the options?
So the again, just to reemphasize, the levy won't cover the entire cost of public safety. It'll still leave an approximately $6.5 million shortfall. So these options can cover that shortfall, or if the levy fails and it's a $13 million shortfall, then these options could also cover that. The first option is we can add a public safety fee to the utility bill. For example, this is an extreme example. Jacksonville adds $62 per
per month,
per account, per month to their utility bill to pay for police and safety. Medford adds $9.42. Albany, Corvallis, Vinita, Oak Ridge, and Sandy all have them. So that's one option. That option, the advantages are it includes the nonprofits such as the hospital that has a high use for public safety. It would also include the churches. And we'd have to try to examine methods that would try to make that as equitable as possible across all users, and including residents. Second option is a food and beverage tax that would apply to purchases of prepared food and beverages. Groceries would not be taxed. If the levy passes, and a tax of 5% would likely be sufficient to fund that $6.5 million remaining deficit. If the levy fails, that 5% tax obviously would not be adequate to cover the entire cost. A third option would be a general sales tax. Oregonians in our culture are generally against that. Everybody knows that. If the levy passes, a 1.5% sales tax would be sufficient. And if the levy fails, then you would probably need up to a 2.5 or 3% sales tax. Now, the advantages of the food and beverage tax and the sales tax is the population of Grants Pass swells by about a 33% every day from people coming into the city to work. And those people buy beverages and prepared food, and they also buy from other merchants. So you would have those people that right now are, I wouldn't say they're getting a free ride, but they're not paying anything for public safety, but yet benefiting from it. They would pay part of their share. The other thing that would happen is the people that come in as far as tourism or on business from outside the community would pay an increasing share of supporting the local emergency services. And, you know, in terms of who pays and who doesn't, that would be attractive. The fourth option is not to go to any new revenue and just cut existing filled positions. And that is always an option. That's what we did the last 2 years, $2 million each year. Up to 20% of the public safety personnel would be cut if the levy passes and no additional revenue is generated. And if the levy fails, then you would see 35% fewer bodies in your fire and police department with reduced service and response time.
All right, let me see if we can get this right as simply as possible. First of all, let's say the levy fails and no other funding is put in place. So we're looking at, did I understand that right, a 35% reduction in boots on the ground and services available, both police and fire, a 35% reduction.
That's right.
I'm not sure what that would look like. I don't want to see that, but that's just me. You can make up your own mind here. Now, if we're talking about a fee added to your utility bill and the levy passes, do we have a dollar amount approximately for that?
For residences, it would be approximately $20 a month.
About $20 a month extra. That's if the levy passes.
Correct.
Now, if the levy doesn't pass, what are we looking at?
Let me make sure I get you. It was $25 a month, excuse me. It would be $50 a month or double that.
Yeah.
Double that.
But then the businesses would be different than that. Walmart, their amount, I don't have it with me here, but their amount is huge, and so is Asante. It's much different it's in the thousands of dollars per month.
And the council did spend a lot of time looking at different avenues or different ways to raise that money. You can go per account, which some places go. So it's based upon just having an account. It can be based upon transportation. There's a transportation formula used so that more businesses that have more business pay a higher amount. And that's kind of what the council was leaning towards when they came close to passing the just a zero fee to put it in order, and then there's also water meter size. So there's various ways to do it, and what we've basically just tried to do is kind of do the nexus to service. So that's why we went towards the transportation fees, because obviously some places have more need for public safety because they have more people that are in and out of there all the time. And so
we're looking at traffic counts to help.
Traffic counts was what we had kind of been leaning towards. And like you said, there's over 50 municipalities in the state of Oregon that have public safety fees on their water bill. So it's not something that, you know, is really, really far-fetched. It's just kind of the way it has come to be. And honestly, you know, we've gotten to a point where it has to be more than we would like it to be, but it's also to, you know, we need it. And we've put it off to this point to where that's where we're at.
And there's other options as well. The biggest challenge is to not have this burden fall disproportionately on any particular business or resident or something like that, and have everyone pay their fair share. Because I think everybody's willing to pay, but they don't want to pay disproportionately.
I see. All right. Let's continue with this what-if situation. Now, if the levy fails, are we looking at a food and beverage tax? And what would that look like if it fails or if it passes?
Well, I think we've kind of looked at the model that Ashland has, because mm-hmm. Ashland has a food and beverage tax, and I think that's what we were kind of looking at. And I think that they have a 5%, and I want to say it comes in pretty close to $5 million, $6 million. So with that and kind of using their model, you could probably say that probably would fit the bill if the levy passes. So that would be one of the legs of the stool, which is we're looking for stability of having part of it from the levy, part of it from, you know, the food and beverage tax, you know, just kind of trying to stretch it out so that you're getting a different class of people or different group of people who use services, as opposed to putting it all in one particular area.
And if the levy fails, what level should that be at?
Well, I think that if the level were to fail, we would probably have to use two different sources. Mm-hmm. I don't think we could raise it to 10%. I don't think that would be feasible. I think the reality of it is that is one of the options that we would use. But if the levy were to fail, I think we would have to use another option besides that.
All right. Do we have a feel for which way the council is leaning right now? And I know I've just got a very small portion of you here. I know you can't speak for the other six, but at any rate, you have a feel for what's going on with your cohorts.
Well, I think there's some folks on the council that would like to do a survey just to see what their constituents are thinking, and that's not a bad idea. The other thing I'm thinking is everybody's going to vote for somebody else to pay. And so it's just because you're in the minority, does that mean you have to pay? And that's, you know, in a democracy, that's kind of the tyranny of the majority. So so we got to balance those two things out.
All right.
And we haven't done that yet, Chuck.
All right. Now let's make one thing perfectly clear here. If this ballot measure fails, or even if it passes, the council does have the authority to, one, institute that fee on your utility bill, or to institute a sales tax without a vote of the people.
That is correct.
Right now, people are going to be looking at more money coming out of their pockets regardless of what happens. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
Well, if you want the same level of public service of what you got now, that's a fair assessment. If you want to cut it and you want to have a different scenario out there on the streets, then that would not be the premise. In terms of implementing it with or without a vote, the council is somewhat split on that. I think the public has been very clear in the past, anyway, given the consequences on public safety and with sales tax, for example, with the countywide sales tax, that went down resoundingly.
80% or better,
And the same thing with the informal feedback we got from the water bill and that levy, and most of it, everybody's willing to pay. They just don't want to carry a disproportionate part of it. Everybody wants the services that I've talked to. The person this morning that I had breakfast with, and he was very concerned, very knowledgeable. But nobody wants to be disproportionately paying for it, even if they're in the minority.
And there are other costs. I want to just put a portion to look at insurance costs. I mean, the reality of it is your insurance rates are based upon what's called an ISO number, which is the rating of your fire department based upon their call, the quickness, the response level, and their standards. And if that goes away, then I can guarantee your insurance rates are going to go up higher. So, you know, there's a cost that you pay somewhere. If you feel the need for more safety, then you may pay for a security company. I mean, there are costs involved in, that you pay if you don't have those services. So I personally just don't want to go down that road. And yes, there are eight different people on a council, so you're going to get eight different ideas of what should happen and could happen. And so that's just one of those things we have to hash out. And we have been hashing it out. I'm sure if you've watched council meetings in the last, you know, 6 months, you've seen that happening. And so we do want feedback.
And the thing that impresses me about the existing council is they're all dedicated to providing adequate public service, emergency services.
All right, we're coming down to the wire here. I've got about 2 minutes left here of the actual time and some commercials to get into. So coming next Monday, if you haven't cast your ballot already, what are the ramifications? What should people take away from this program, Valerie?
Well, the need for public safety services and the fact that, you know, I will say LLC, we went to a League of Oregon Cities, and last year the big thing, and this year we talked with homelessness, and they have already predicted that next year's problem is going to be paying for public safety services throughout the state. It is a statewide issue that we're all having to deal with. And those of us down here in Southern Oregon who have less resources than other areas are even feeling it more. So it is painful, but I think the reality of it is we need stability. Stability comes from public safety, and we need to find a way to pay for it.
All right. Thank you very much. Joel, same question. You have about 40 seconds.
We've been paying the $1.79 levy for the last 10 years. It's not a change. It goes entirely to police and fire, so I would encourage people to continue what they've already been paying for. And then as we go to the future, with the anticipated deficit that would leave us with, that we have a real rigorous discussion on the different options and make good decisions.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have a decision to make by next Tuesday. I hope you make a wise one, whatever that decision may be. If you have questions, of course, the council is at your disposal. Please make your thoughts known to them. And listen for the results right here on KAJO Radio. We will be at the courthouse next Tuesday night, and we'll have staff in studio here. Probably a quick night, only three measures on the ballot, one for the county, one for the city, and one a fire district, I believe, out in Applegate. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270, 99.7.
Mid-Rogue Imaging has